WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. You've seen the commercials telling you that you could save 15% over here or a few hundred dollars over there. All you need to do is go to a particular company's website or make the call. In fact, it may make sense to go ahead and see if that other company offers better rates than the one you are intending to use. As indicated by writer Joe Craven McGinty, there are many examples of people failing to comparison shop. Research from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau indicates that differences in available prices are often large, and people should not presume that prices are roughly the same. For instance, the average spread on home mortgages among borrowers is about half a percentage point. Paying 4% interest on a $400,000 mortgage instead of 3.5% amounts to an extra $114 in monthly payments. The average difference in auto loans is 1.3 percentage points, according to researchers at MIT and Brigham Young University. For the typical auto loan, the difference would be like paying $1,300 more on the purchase price. Nearly 20% who take out auto loans pay more than 2 percentage points higher than the best rate available to similarly situated borrowers. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. There is a conventional wisdom suggesting that recently enacted corporate tax cuts at the federal level will automatically induce American businesses to expand their volume of investment. That is likely, but it's important to understand why it will. As indicated by economist Justin Wolfers, economists generally recognize that corporate tax cuts produce two distinct effects. First, a tax cut increases the incentive to invest. A lower corporate tax rate supplies investors with a larger share of the income that that new investment will generate. That in turn leads to more investment projects passing the cost-benefit test. Second, a tax cut showers additional cash on companies. That cash comes from the lower tax rate on profits earned largely from prior achievements. This windfall has a significant impact on the distribution of income, with billions of dollars going to owners of capital at the expense of government tax collections. In and of itself, this cash infusion is unlikely to do much to bolster future investment because the profitability of new capital projects depends upon future revenues and expenses, not on how much cash a company has on hand. In other words, what's often scarce is not cash, but the profitable investment opportunities themselves. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. We have, of course, yet to observe anything approaching the full impact of the recently enacted federal tax reform. Much attention has been given to the reduction in corporate tax rates, but there were reductions in individual income tax rates as well. While much has changed, much remains the same, including the progressivity of America's federal tax code. As indicated by writer Laura Saunders, the individual income tax is of enormous importance. This fiscal year, it could raise half of total federal revenue, according to estimates from Congress's Joint Committee on Taxation, up from 48% last year. The Tax Policy Center, a nonpartisan research group, generated estimates of tax burdens for 2017 and 2018. In order to assess the progressivity of the U.S. tax code pre- and post-reform, Tax Policy Center researchers divided approximately 175 million American households into five tiers of income with about 65 million people apiece. For 2018, it is estimated that households in the top 20% will be associated with 52% of total income, about the same as in 2017. They will pay about 87% of income taxes in 2018, up from 84% last year. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. In a number of large American metropolitan areas, it has become common for high-income earners to move in while others are priced out and induced to move elsewhere. Newly available research from Issy Romem, chief economist at building data website BuildZoom, finds that metropolitan areas like New York, Los Angeles, Miami, and San Francisco are experiencing an influx of new residents from other parts of America who earn substantially more than those who are leaving. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, many have fretted expected that such dynamics would become commonplace, with lower and moderate income residents pushed out by rising housing costs. There are many implications, including children forced to change schools and workers required to change jobs. While having high income people move in sounds advantageous, the outmigration of people with lower incomes comes with a cost. These folks frequently supply effort to restaurants, hotels, construction firms, and many other types of businesses. The trend is most apparent in San Francisco, where home prices have risen by nearly 90% since 2010. Many former industrial hubs like Detroit, Cleveland, and Philadelphia are experiencing the opposite trend, with new arrivals earning less than those who are leaving. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. 2 weeks ago, the government supplied an employment report with disappointing results. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, U.S. non-farm payrolls rose by a seasonally adjusted 103,000 jobs in March. That was well below the roughly 185,000 net job gain that economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal had been anticipating. The employment report failed to garner much attention, however, given the recent preoccupation with tit-for-tat tariffs between the U.S. and China and growing concerns about the possibility of a full-blown trade war. Moreover, economists often explain the data using non-economic factors, including the weather. One may remember that March was rather unpleasant and brought forth freezing temperatures and snowstorms. That appears to have impacted weather-sensitive industries like construction and retail trade. Employment in construction rose by 65,000 net new positions in February, but declined by 15,000 positions in March. Similarly, as indicated by the Wall Street Journal, the retail trade industry shed more than 4,000 positions after adding a solid 47,000 positions the prior month. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.